Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcasts. And today we're going to be talking about selling, a subject that intimidates and puzzles many legal nurse consultants. I have with me T.G. Thomas, who I met on an internet marketer's cruise. A great way to have a vacation and to do business at the same time. TG is an extremely fortunate person. He's been around successful people all of his life, and he has found great models to emulate. That's given him a platform for success. He is originally from Philadelphia, lives in Houston, and has degrees in math and engineering, but has been attracted to sales and the selling process pretty much his entire life. In the 12 years that he spent before going online, he has produced over $150 million in revenues for the corporate company that he used to work for, and probably used to is the operative word in that sentence. And he has produced multiple millions in annual revenues using the same system that he teaches students today. TG finds that the selling process is a lot easier when you understand the steps and the psychology in dealing with your future customers. And we'll be talking about some of these steps and the mindset today. Welcome to the show, TG.
Pat, thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited to be here.
You have an interesting background of going from math and engineering into sales, which is not a transition that many people make. How did you get started in sales?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And I do actually get asked that a lot. They're like, wait a second, you're dealing with numbers. You're very, you know, it seems like an analytical type of background. And all of a sudden you're going into sales. And, you know, that's a lot of, you know, emotional type of selling is really what most people do, and so they get the profits for their company. And most people think, wait a second, how do those even correlate? I have always been a student of human behavior, you know, human psychology. I was always, even since when I was a young child, I was very curious, and I always wondered, why do people do the things that they do? And then when I graduated from college, one of my first, I had a bunch of side businesses and part-time jobs that I did, but my first real job was as a math consultant in the inner city in Philadelphia. And we used a style of teaching. It was a self-esteem program, so I worked with a lot of, you know, inner city children, a lot of, you know, single parent homes. And, you know, it was a great program because we really were looking to show not just the children, but the educators, what the potential these kids had. The interesting thing, though, we use a style of teaching called the Socratic method of teaching. And if your listeners are familiar with Socratic or Socrates, they'll know that that was a philosopher from years ago that asked questions of his students. And that's all I did. All I did was ask questions. And it really honed a lot of what I do today and what I teach my students. So I was always able to distinguish and keep both worlds separate, I guess is the best way to say it. But since I started at such a young age asking questions and being very inquisitive in nature and then studying people and the reason why they say the things they do, yes, no, whatever it may be, it really was something that was eye-opening. And I think my strength was I was able to keep those two worlds separate because, you know, sales is really not about analytics. It's really about people. And that's one thing that I had insight into at a young age that I'm able to carry through even to today.
And I've heard attorneys talk about how law school uses the Socratic method as well. So you have that in common with the people that legal nurse consultants are marketing to and then want to close sales with.
Absolutely.
Some people associate sales almost as a manipulative, dirty word, manipulative, high pressure. I'm sure you've heard the term used car salesman, and you know that that's not a positive term the way that it's typically used. What do you think about those implications that selling has to be high pressure and manipulative for it to be successful?
Yeah, that's actually the way that I was taught also. When I first came into the world of selling, I mean, I liked sales. I mean, I had done different forms of selling. And then when I got into, you know, certain companies, the high-pressure tactics were always used. In fact, what they would say was, you know what, people are going to say no. Just get used to it. We're going to teach you how to overcome those no's. So really I was getting taught these, just a lot of techniques and strategies that we're almost getting people to just say no, and then we would focus a lot of our training. Okay, you got your no. Let's show you these slick ways to overcome it. And I think that's where really the world of selling really got a bad rap. If you think about sales, really, it's so difficult for our society, our economy, to survive without selling, without sales. Sales is just a backbone of that. I mean, if you have a product and you have a market, there needs to be some kind of, you know, connecting there to make sure that there's a flow of monies that are coming into those companies to, you know, create jobs. And there's so many things that are created from selling. So I always looked at it as a personal responsibility. I was thinking, man, I have to find a way to get people the value that they're seeking without tarnishing the name of this really amazing, you know, profession. So I did not like to do high pressure. That was what was taught to me, and I kept telling myself there's got to be a better way. And the way that I looked at it was, how can I sell to people? How can I approach people in a way that I want to be approached? And the thing is, most high pressure salespeople that are out there, Pat, they never want to be sold the way that they sell. And I always thought that was very funny. I was like, wait a second, you don't want you to be sold, but you want to sell other people like that? So the thing is, at the end of the day, it's you know, a lot of times people say it's about conversions, it's about making money. I mean, if you're a nice person and you're not making any sales, well, it doesn't really make any sense, right? So, you know, a lot of times people justify that behavior or that attitude by saying we want to make money. Whereas when I teach students and I work with people, I teach a no-pressure method that's based on a good customer experience. And it's about asking the right questions at the right time and getting people involved. But the main thing is you're selling the way that you want to be sold. And I'm going to tell you, Pat, I don't suffer any sacrifices in sales or conversions. I mean, the way that I was able to get those nine figures in sales for the companies to work with is by using exactly what I share with my students. And to this day, that's what I do. And I have a community that I'm building of people that are wanting to sell or just even talk to people like that. And I don't get objections. I don't get refunds. I don't get complaints. It's exactly the opposite. I get people that are wanting to give a lot of testimonials, that they love the buyer experience. And when I'm teaching people, just like your audience, you know, it's very natural the way that the sales process works. It's very intuitive, very natural, and it's almost like, man, I can't believe that this actually is getting people to buy a product or service, because all I'm doing is dialoguing with someone that I care about. I want to help them, and at the end of the day, that to me is the best way to sell, because you know, you go to sleep with your head on the pillow without worrying about losing any sleep or, man, am I doing what's right for other people? And at the same time, you're making money. So to me, it's been a win-win situation, and it really has helped take away that stigma that's out there of that high-pressure sales process.
I think a lot of people in our field who come out of a legal nurse consulting program believe that if they make phone calls and they send out letters or they drop in on attorney offices, that they will automatically get welcomed, that people will be interested in what they have to say. Tell me about what you see in terms of the cold letter, the cold visit, the cold phone calls, are they working?
So, really good question. When I deal with my students, we talk about creating a warm atmosphere. I've done cold calling before, and I've actually worked with companies that are used to doing cold calling. And what I always get them to implement is something to turn that coldness into a warm situation, okay? Because what's going to happen is when you are, it's just like when you walk into the same analogy I talked about, the high pressure. The other thing is also unwanted attention. So let's say like you're walking into a retail store to buy an article of clothing, and the salesperson comes right to you and they're like, can I help you? Can I assist you with something? And if you have no feeling that you want to get help, you're going to be like, oh, no, I'm just looking. I'm not interested, you know, whatever the thing may be. So when there's a situation where there's that cold type of, you know, or unwanted presence that's coming to you, it sets you off, you know, really quickly. So the same thing is if you are going to an office where there, you know, where there's no request for your service, then the same thing can happen, right? It can be like, okay, well, just leave your stuff with me. You know, we'll get back to you. You know, we'll think about it. The attorney's busy. We'll just find a way to get back to you at a different time. So you're going to get those same things. So when I talk to people that do those type of efforts, is what can you do to turn that into a warm, you know, type of situation, right? And there's ways to do that. Now, I'm an online marketer. I mean, I'm an internet marketer. I've got different companies, but pretty much what I do is online. I do have a segment that I use direct marketing, direct mail, you know, postcards, things like that. So if you're trying to get an audience, you know, you're trying to get in front of, there's a few things that you can do to turn that cold situation to something that's warm. One is you can use postcards. Are you familiar with what lumpy mail is, Pat?
I know the term, but I think our audience would appreciate it if you would define it.
Yeah, lumpy mail is something that most people probably have gotten at one time or the other. One of the main things that usual a lot of car dealers or you know, car companies will do is they will send you an envelope. They won't even put the return envelope, and then all of a sudden you look in and say, like, wait a second, what is that? I feel something that's in there, and you open it up, and there could be like a key inside. You know, inside is a key to the future car that you're, you know, the key to your future. And it could be, oh, okay, it's just a plastic key that they want me to come in and test drive something. I'll get $1,000 off. So lumpy mail is really something that will make people open something up. It's just lumpy. That's kind of what it means, right? So it could be a lot of different things in there, depending whether, you know, if it's a painting contractor, they may actually put a paintbrush inside like one of those Air Express envelopes. So what I've seen a lot of students do is to turn the situation to something warm is that they will, you know, maybe take a FedEx envelope. You know, you can actually send FedEx or priority mail, which may not be that expensive to do. If it's priority express mail, it gets a little more expensive. But you can actually take those and drop them off at the actual attorney's office. You know, you can, you know, put something inside, and, you know, you could, again, we don't have the time right now to go into different types of lumpy mail people can use, but you can actually just go to Google and just do a lumpy mail campaign or just check out lumpy mail to get different types of ideas. But really what can happen is the main point is to get past that gatekeeper to the attorney, right? I mean, the attorney's not going to be standing right in the hall when somebody walks in. And then you can, you know, create a little one-page resume or one-page, you know, kind of a elevator speech on paper just to get the attention of the attorney. Put your contact information. Let them know, you know, not the benefits of working with, you know, the legal nurse consultants. Not the features of working with them, but the benefits. So don't just start listing down your resume, but what's going to happen if the attorney brings you as part of their team, right? I mean, again, the legal nurse consultants, they're medical experts, really. They're part of the team, but they're an expert. So let the attorney know what you can do as that expert on their team that's going to make their life a lot easier. Let them know how you've helped other people in the past, how they can be a vital part part of the team that they can access, you know, at these hours. They could be hours outside the typical, you know, legal nurse consultant applicant. So just start looking at different things that you do to make their life a lot easier. And really, at the end of the day, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for people to come on in to become a seamless part of the team. That's going to give some sort of benefit to that person, right? And again, they're looking probably through a lot of different applications. So if you're not using a warm market funnel where you have people maybe go online and do like a survey or some sort of you know, online type of marketing to get an attorney to reach out to you, then you can use something as simple as lump email where you can drop off and then say, listen, this is if you can, you know, give that to you know, Attorney John Smith, that'd be greatly appreciated. Then you can just, you know, drop off an envelope, a little air express mailer, or even a priority mail envelope, just to pique their curiosity. Because I can assure you that most people are not doing that. Most people are just dropping off business cards, they're dropping off resumes, and then they'll pretty much go into the circular file very quickly because they may have a stack of them to look through. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes me think about a lumpy campaign that I did one time for my legal nurse consulting business. My sister owned a crystal shop in Manhattan, and she was able to get bulk chips of tiger eye, which is a stone that's associated with winning. Uh-huh. So I put these on a card, and the card said, "Are you stuck between a rock and a hard spot?
Nice.
You want to win your case? Have our assistants as legal nurse consultants to help you increase your chances of winning." And it was definitely lumpy mail. It just went out in the regular U.S. mail, and we got some phone calls and reactions as a result of it.
Absolutely.
Can you be both a nice person and an effective salesperson?
Yes. Yeah, the short answer to that is yes. And the way that I teach my students is to do exactly that. The way that I kind of let people know the way a selling situation can be is, imagine if a family member, you know, somebody close to you, maybe one of your best friends, reached out to you, and they're pouring out their heart to you, and they're saying, "Listen, I need your help. I need you to listen," and you, as that person, are listening to them, listening to what they have to say, hang on every word, ask them follow-up questions. See, that is what is missing in a sales situation for the most part. Now, I'm also a consumer. I'm not just in sales. I'm actually a consumer. And I can tell you, when I am in most selling situations where I'm looking to buy, it is extremely rare where I get someone that listens to everything that I have to say. Most people, like when I teach people this specific four-step process that I use, and what happens is I tell students, you want to discover the needs of your future customers before you present what your offer or service is. Unfortunately, most people flip those two. What they do is they start presenting what they have without finding out what the needs are. So it's kind of like if a friend starts coming to you and starts telling you about their problems, like, well, you know what? You know, Pat, before you start telling me your problems, let me start telling you how great I am and the solutions. You know, what great of a friend I am. I'm going to tell you all the solutions. I'm pretty much sure I know what you're going to tell me. Let me give you all these solutions, right? Again, it doesn't make any sense in that example. So it shouldn't really make any sense in a selling situation either, right? You should never start offering advice. You know, and part of the issue is a lot of times people love what they do. They love what they do, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with loving what you do or the product or service that you own or are offering or, you know, representing. You should love it. I tell students, you really need to like what you do. You know, your future customer will know when you do not like what you're promoting, right? So you want to love, but the thing is, that's also can be a bad thing. Because sometimes people fall in love so much that they want to lead with that. They want to be like, "Oh my gosh, I wish this person would stop talking. Let me just tell them how great of a service we have for you as an attorney. We can change your life around. Man, when I am part of your team, you just don't understand. I am going to revolutionize your business. I'm going to seamlessly get on your team. I'm going to do A, B, and C before you know it. We're going to, you know, be making a lot of money together. So because they're eager to do that, they don't maybe not know what those attorneys' needs are. The attorney may have totally different focuses than what that person is really, it's going to offer without knowing those needs. So again, they may be talking about, they want somebody that they can trust, that can work a certain number of hours, and, you know, is very easily coachable. Are you there, Pat?
I am.
Okay. So, you may be offering something totally different if you don't know those needs. And then that attorney would be like, wait a minute, I'm not really looking for that right now, but thanks for your time. And you can miss out on an opportunity that way. So I tell students that when you are just, I mean, you can be nice during this whole process. You could be an extremely nice person, but listen very intently to what the needs of those individuals are. The more you can listen and the more you can make those connections to what their needs are and what you have to offer, that's when your conversions are going to go up. And all the while, you can be an extremely nice person. If you're a nice person and you don't listen and you're not satisfying any of those needs, wants, or desires that that attorney has, well, guess what? You can be a nice person that gets no conversions. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. It makes me think of a time when I was exhibiting and I wore an exhibitor badge and I walked up to another exhibitor to find out more about her business. And without asking me a word, she immediately went into her sales pitch, which was having people who attend examinations that patients get when they are going through litigation and they have to go to a doctor hired by the insurance company. And she assumed I was an attorney and went right through her spiel. And then finally, about 4 or 5 minutes into her sales pitch, she looked at my badge and she stopped herself and she said, "Oh, you're a nurse. You're not an attorney." I think she missed that first step. You have me curious about these four steps. Tell us more about that process.
Yeah, so what, and again, a lot of what I teach, when I teach it to people, they have a lot of ahas, like, wow, or man, that makes sense. That's so intuitive. It just flows. And that's what I tell students. It really, really does. So when I talk about these four parts, Pat, you have the connecting part or the connecting phase. You have the discovery. You have the presenting. And then you have the close. Now, the close, when I share, when I talk to my students in our community, we talk about the close is what I call MBO. M as in Mary, B as in boy, O as in October, MBO. And what it stands for is mutually beneficial outcome. So when I'm talking to my students, I'm letting them know, listen, you need to have a customer-centric focus when you're selling. As long as you do that, you detach yourself from the sale and you're just trying to help that individual out, your money, your commissions, your goals are going to get hit. You know, you can just do that. But you have to find a way to get them what they want. It's got to be a win-win situation. It shouldn't be a one-sided affair where, oh, I'm just going to get a lot out of it, they're not going to get. So when I'm coaching my students, I'm always reminding them, come back to the mutual beneficial outcome. That's what you want to start calling this close, because when you start looking at it like that, your whole perspective will change. And when you detach yourself and focus on them, then the money's going to come in. I mean, that's what happens, you know, that's what's happened with me, and it's made a big change in my life. So when you connect with people, you're basically, you know, finding out really, you know, what's brought you two together and just really finding out a lot about the hot buttons at that point. The discovery phase is really where the sale is made, Pat. A lot of times people think the sale is made at the end when you're actually presenting, and that's not the case. I will know when I'm done the discovery phase, you know, 80 plus percent of the time, if somebody's going to buy or not, because I can tell at that time what their needs are, what their goals are, what their pain is. Where's that pain coming from? And then from there, I will present. Only after I find out what their needs are will I present what I have to offer, okay? And then at the end, when I'm asking them for the sale, it's almost a foregone conclusion. If I've met their needs and a creative value for them, they're going to say yes. So connecting, discovery, presenting, and then your MBO or the close, That's the sequence that I teach. And again, it's a natural dialogue. It's a natural flow. And it just makes a lot of sense because that is typically the way that when two people talk and that you care about. And I need to put that in there because sometimes, you know, when people are like maybe at the water cooler in an office on a Monday after their weekend, you know, and then, you know, Jim Smith comes up and asks you, hey, Pat, how was your weekend? And you start talking about your weekend. Many times, Jim is only asking that so he can start talking about his weekend. You know, he'd be like, Pat, come on, let's go. I need you to hurry up. So I went skiing and all these things. I got to tell you about it. So that's not the type of conversation. I'm talking about the where you're really wanting to help somebody out, and you got to listen to what their pain is. You know, what exactly is it that I can do to help you? You know, make that connection. Find out what they want. After you found it out, okay, well, let me share with you what I think may help you with that situation, and at the end you have a resolution. How does that sound? And that's what we show, you know, what I share with people when I'm training and teaching them is how to keep that natural flow going. Now, again, there's a little bit more to it. It's really hard to explain just in the few minutes we have here, but there is a little more to it. But that really is the framework of the structure that you would follow.
That makes sense, because attorneys contact legal nurse consultants because they have a problem. They may have too many medical records, or the medical records are hard to read, or they're filled with medical abbreviations. And what the attorney really wants to know is, give me a summary. Tell me what happened to this person. How was he injured? What complications did he have? I need that summary so that I can get up to speed and I know how to approach the claims adjuster. And I also want to know that I've got all the information and that there's nothing hidden in those records that could harm me. Like the case I worked on with a man who slid off a roof and landed on his feet. But it turned out that he was legally intoxicated at the time that he was up on the roof on the job site. That was a piece of information that changed the whole case and was hidden in those medical records. So if I understand what you're saying, as the legal nurse consultant is talking to the client, one of the most important questions is this framework of, what do you need? What would be most helpful to you that I could do for you?
Exactly. So if attorney Jim Johnson is talking to Pat Iyer and Pat's trying to get the position, that's exactly what I would ask. I would say, well, Mr. Johnson, let me ask you this. What exactly is it that you're looking to get from a legal nurse consultant? What's the most meaningful thing to you personally? And then you just want to be quiet and listen to everything that they say. Now, let's say that he starts talking about how medical records are important, how deep. So you got to start listening a little bit more. You know, they talk about reading between the lines. You got to listen between the lines. So if someone is coming to you and say, well, I need to make sure that I get someone on that can, you know, look at these summaries and not leave anything out, but then you can start saying, well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Johnson. Have you had any problems or have you had any issues with past consultants and some of the summaries that they've done for you? And guess what? If he says, oh, my gosh, Pat, let me tell you something. I had a case once where this happened and that happened. And then after you listen to that, again, you got to listen. And then you say, so you can find someone who can read these legal briefs and the summaries really detailed so something like that doesn't happen again in the future. Is that something that would really, you know, interest you and be, you know, be one of the main reasons you would hire a legal nurse consultant? Absolutely, Pat. And guess what just happened there? Right. I don't have to spell exactly. And that's how you provide value for people. And that is all that I do. That's all I do. That's all my students do. And this is why I do millions of dollars worth of revenues every month by just helping people out. And I, you know, again, I practice what I preach. I don't just, you know, teach the students. I'm still actively, involved in high ticket sales. And I sell, you know, products from $10,000 up to $250,000. Per service. And I get people that are ecstatic at the end of the presentation. They love it. They don't want a refund. They don't, you know, and so because the thing is I listen to what they have to say. I ask deeper questions. Again, remember you care about these people. Just like I would ask one of my best friends if they're, you know, crying over to me about something that's distraught, I would ask more questions. And then once you find out the best way to help these individuals, you know, ask a couple more deeper questions, and then ask them, listen, so it sounds like that's been an issue for you, but if you can get that handled, and we can, you know, take care of those things for you, is that one of the main things you're looking for in a legal, you know, nurse consultant? And that's how you button that up, and that's how you get the sale.
How can our listeners learn more about you, TG?
Well, Pat, I'm not really sure exactly when they'll be hearing this podcast, but I will tell you this. I do have a website. I'm creating this community of people that really are just a little sick and tired of a lot of the high-pressure stuff that's out there. It seems like there's a lot of groups and, you know, places you can join. I have a lot of free content that I give away at my main website. Now, the website is Unselling System, because what I teach is I call it unselling. It's a contrarian way of looking at sales, and it's a no-pressure sales approach. So I do have the main website. It's Unselling System. It's just UNSELLING, Unselling System, just one word, .com. And when they go to that, they can actually sign up for a free newsletter series that I have that has several videos that goes over some of the things I just talked about today a little bit deeper. Really nothing to buy. They can just go get that as a free gift. Now, I do webinars also. And again, I don't know when your followers are going to be listening to this. So what I will let them know is my email is TG, which is my first name, TIJI. @unsellingsystem.com, TG@unsellingsystem.com, and if they can email me after they listen to this and let them, you know, I would love to know what they, because I want to share it with you also, so I'm sure you'd love this feedback. But after they listen to the podcast, I would love to hear feedback as to what y'all got out of this. You know, how, you know, this is something that you feel can help. If you go out and implement the things we talk about, I'd love to hear about that also. But the other thing you can do when you can email me is I do weekly webinars to talk a little bit more about the community. I talk a little bit about the community at the website, unsellingsystem.com, but they can email me and say, hey, TG, can you let me also know when the next webinar is going to be? And then I can definitely let them know that. But again, I would love to hear, especially after implementation, Pat, what your subscribers got out of this. So. It's been a pleasure. I would love to hear back from you also if they directly get a hold of you. In closing, just for me, I just want to let you know this is something that I'm very, very excited about. I'm looking as a mission to get people this information because it really is a different approach. A lot of times people don't look at themselves as salespeople. You know, legal nurse consultants, I mean, that's a profession. It's a very valued profession in our society, and it could be very lucrative also. But sometimes people don't look at themselves as a salesperson to get the actual, you know, position. And I tell students, you know, when you can look at sales like the way I teach it, it becomes a little more like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see myself doing that. So even though people don't look at themselves as a sales person, the unselling system makes it very seamless and it's very so that's one thing I would love for people to do is start looking at that as, hey, I can do this. This is something that makes a lot of sense. I can go out and do, and I would love to hear from your tribe and yourself as to what type of impact they've had from implementing some of these strategies.
Well, thank you, TG. I think it's a truism that anyone who owns a business is in sales, and even if you don't own a business, you are always selling in one way or the other, whether it's your teenage child to convince that person to take out the garbage or it's some other aspect of your life. So thank you so much for being on the show. This has been Legal Nurse Podcast. Tune in again next week. We'll have another interview on a new topic. And I so appreciate the listeners who have been giving me feedback and have been enjoying this program. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.